All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we are going to conclude tonight the topic. We've been talking about issues impacting the church. We've been talking about the scourge of pornography. Tonight we end that topic. We'll have one more message tonight, and then we will go on to something else. I'm thinking perhaps fear next week. I'm not sure. But anyway, we will find out what the Lord lays upon my heart for next Sunday evening. But tonight, we're going to do one more time. We're going to talk about the issue of pornography. And this is combating the poison of pornography. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not God, not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to our hearts. I pray that you'd help me this evening. Lord, a difficult topic. One more time. Help me, please. Lord, help me to say nothing amiss or nothing inappropriate. And Lord, but this is somebody has to speak on it. Somebody has to preach against it and help and give help. And tonight, Lord, that is my goal, is to give help of how to seek help if someone's involved in this. And so, Lord, be with me tonight, please. Be with those downstairs teaching. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Issues impacting the church tonight is the third on pornography and the last, Lord willing, for the time. Combating the poison of pornography. It was interesting. A well-known pastor was flying into a city, Dallas, Texas, and he saw on this building, he saw this phrase. It said this. It is sexual revolution begins here. And it was on a church. A huge banner, the side of the church, and that was the phrase on the side of the church. Listening to a podcast, A Case Against R-Rated Church by Johnson and MacArthur, and he was interviewing Brother MacArthur, and he was talking about the article, which I have found, alluded to, in November the 11th, 2007, from the Apprising Ministries website. It's called A Proposal for Christian Pornography. Christian pornography. And the rules are, it must be uplifting. Must be inspirational. It must be focusing on the strength in Christian marriage and Christian faith. And by the way, no profanity allowed. It's like, that's really an oxymoron. I want you to know that this cannot exist. But there was an article about that. And the Christians have digressed. Christians as a whole, those who name the name of Christian, have digressed extremely much. Number one, a will that is to be followed. First of all, we saw the source accepted is God's will. Secondly, the setting apart in verse 3, that you even your sanctification, we had positional sanctification. We received that salvation. Progressive, we're growing in the Lord. And perfect when we get to be with Christ in heaven. That will be what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. In verse 3:13 of the same book, it says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Be separated. So we are, the source is accepted, the setting apart, and thirdly was the staying away. In verse 3, abstain from fornication. Abstain is the idea of putting a distance from, a marker of disassociation, where abstain from fornication, period. The late Jerry Bridges said, it's more in terms of obedience and disobedience rather than victory and defeat. Either we're going to be obedient to what God has called us to or not. I trust that you are. The psalmist said in Psalm 25:25, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The best reason for doing what's right today is tomorrow. Let's do right today, for there'll be tomorrow yet. And the only that was there, the staying away, talk about fornication, we're to abstain, we're to flee it in 6:18 of 1 Corinthians. We're to mortify, therefore, your members, including fornication, Colossians 3:5. What does mortify mean? It means to put to death. We are to kill those thoughts, those activities, etc. Now, where does fornication begin? I think it begins, well, the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I think the eyes then help it to fester when you allow your eyes to wander. Bottom line, your battle's in your mind. I really believe your battle when it comes to purity is in your mind. You have got to allow God's word to control your thoughts. If you let them run rampant, you can't do it. It just won't work that way. Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? The psalmist said in 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Fornication simply means all kinds of illicit and unnatural intimate indulgence, we are to abstain from that. So there is a will that is to be followed. Secondly, in verse 4, there's a walk that is faithful. Realization that every one of you should know. The realization we are to grow in our walk with God. If you're in the same place you are spiritually when you were saved 30 years ago, you're not walking, you're not growing. If we had a child and let's say 10 years, it's still in diapers and an infant size, it's not growing. And so if you're the same, if you're Christian-wise, if you're still an infant, you need to start growing. The realization we should know the requirements in verse 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. A rendering would be this, that each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from things profane and honor, and purity and honor. That's how you're supposed to live our lives. One of us should know that. And I believe that we know that. You've been in church all your lives, many of you, and you know what the Bible teaches. Wiersbe says, the Christian who commits immoral sin is sinning against his own body, and he is robbing God of the glory he should receive through the believer's way of life. Well, do people know how powerful is the God you serve? If the God you serve can't change your life, it's not a very powerful God. But people see people who've changed and they walk with God and they've walked through troubles and the Lord has molded them and they can even respond positively when they have such a difficult situation. So that was realization, requirements, and now in verse 5 we have rejection. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, which is the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Do not behave, Christian, as the Gentiles, the unregenerate people. And remember, it was in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about that's not even named among the Gentiles. That the man should have, etc. Whatever the sin he was doing there, not even named among the Gentiles. So we are to live pure lives, know ye not. So I found an outline from the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, who is one of the greatest, by the way, pulpiteers in my lifetime. Adrian Rogers, Love Worth Finding Ministry. And I found an outline called The Poison of Pornography. So I'm taking some notes from that. And Proverbs, you want to get your Bibles, please. Proverbs 4:23. My goal is, and I've got a list on the back table now, I've got a list of some helpful books that might be helpful to you. Regarding this topic, to know more about it, how to fight it, how to combat it, etc. And so they're back there. I can't say every single book is not all of them are even are written in a Christian mindset, but they are can be helpful to you, I believe. Proverbs 4:23, and it says for us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The strength of the unbridled desire, that is the idea of this. We are to keep our heart with diligence so our lives don't get unbridled through passions, etc. Keep your heart with all diligence. And Solomon, look at 25, same chapter. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Look at chapter 6 now, same book, chapter 6, verse 25. 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And 27, look what it says about this. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? No. You can't get involved in those things and come out unscathed. Solomon's really trying to say, if you would have a pure heart, guard your heart from these things. You have got to put some fences around. Now, I don't know how many Mr. Gary has around Cisco and Buttermilk and the Rebel. I don't know how many fences he has around them, but I think Bubbles probably needs some more fences for his cow, perhaps. But that's the idea of regarding our mind. We've got to have to protect it to keep the from getting out. And so we have got to do it. Dogs will have those, the wireless fence, or the remote, whatever those things are, the wireless fence, and they have that thing on their collar, and they run past it, oh, and they start running, etc. It works for some, doesn't work for others. But that we have got to do something. This is 1990s, and listen to what Dr. Rogers says. Across the world, it is though a suit, this is 1990, I think early 90s. A sewer pipe has broken open, and tragically we seem to be getting immune to it. What was horrible yesterday is acceptable today, and a stepping stone for something worse tomorrow. It ought to break our hearts. And there's the old adage, what was condemned must be celebrated. What was celebrated must be condemned. This is the new moral mindset. And those who will not celebrate must themselves be condemned. Either what was condemned yesterday must be celebrated now.
And what was celebrated yesterday, living a Christian life, must now be condemned. And those who will not celebrate with the immoral celebration must also be condemned. That's the mindset of those who want to take control in our nation, I believe, many of them. You say, well, Pastor Tim, it's not real. It is that bad. I don't think any of you are disagreeing with me. It's terrible. Our country is, we are a pornographic country, it seems. The harm of pornography, and that's why the Bible says so clearly, keep thy heart with all diligence. You must. You cannot go fishing, we can, I guess you could, with a cane pole and a line and no hook. You can go fishing if you want to sleep. Now, my dad loved, the best part about fishing trip was sleeping, because he didn't care much for fishing. And he was going to go with us to Minnesota one time, and my grandpa happened to be really, really bad, and so he stayed back. Matter of fact, my grandfather passed away while we were on the trip, and we were up in this lake of Minnesota, and did not even get back for the funeral. But I was wondering how he's going to do this, because he doesn't enjoy fishing. I was hoping he'd take his Bible and books, because he could sit in the boat and read. And so, but anyway, that was my dad. And so we find in that it was his mindset there. But we are to keep our heart with all diligence. We are. The idea today is that this physical part of a relationship can be separated from the rest of it. And so it's like when God described it as a four-threaded rope, and they're trying to take that one of those threads and put it over here by itself. No, it all goes together to have what God has determined. The act of physical intimacy is designed for the marriage bed alone. That's God's design. You take it away from that design and you're going to have nothing but havoc. One psychologist, Dr. Victor Klein at the University of Utah, he said, after 15 years of practice dealing with people entangled in pornography, he said he observed four steps. I thought these four steps are important. First of all, there's the addiction factor. You can't just look and walk away. Pornography is a very, very powerful drug. Matter of fact, there's a website called Fight the New Drug. I read a book by one of the beginners of that. I did not put that on the list there, but it's not religious, but they're fighting the new drug, as you well know. I mentioned that last time. We have 40 million people who are addicted to pornography in America alone. Secondly, the second is escalation. What thrilled and the person before that then has to be something stronger. Illustration, I remember when you're dating a young person, often you would maybe, and I'm not sure what you're dating things, but you know, when I was dating my wife, I hold her hand. So, you know, I'm not saying don't necessarily do as I do, I'm just telling what happened to us. So hold her hand, and then after a few days, I want more than a handhold, I want a kiss. And so, I'm not going to say that happened or didn't happen, but anyway, it's just a natural progress. Sad to say, even in pornography, there's a natural progress, because the third step is desensitization factor. You become desensitized to what you're viewing, and so you must have more graphic things going on. You become narcotized, if that's a word, it's like a narcotic. So engrossed, encompassing you, I was reading even today, about violence and pornography, how they go together. And the first thing that popped up and said, well, there's a new study that suggests that there's no connection between sexual violence and pornography. I wonder what were you thinking when you wrote that, whoever wrote that? There's a direct correlation between that. There's direct correlation from a book I have listed back there on the paper called 10 Lies Men Believe About Porn by Stephen Kahn. It says this: most recovery books are filed under the category of self-help. But lasting change cannot come from trying to help yourself. As long as you are attempting to gain control of your life under your own power and following your own plan, you will continue to struggle. In order to find true and lasting freedom, not just from pornography, but from the greatest needs of your soul, you must start looking in the God help me section of the bookstore. We have to have God's help. We do. You cannot do it on your own. Now, there's books, I read a couple of them. I even have one of them, I think, listed, that are devoid of any kind of mention of God. For the Christian, don't try to do that on your own. You must seek God's help. It's a social sickness. Oh, it doesn't affect me, Pastor Tim. It's a victimless crime. Do you know that every 26 seconds, someone is trafficked? Every 26 seconds, and the statistics say only 1 or 2% will ever get out of that rescued. There are more slaves today than there have ever been in the history of the world. More slaves today. And we hear so little in comparison from past slavery, which was wrong. There's more slavery today. And where's the outcry? And there's starting to be an outcry over the human trafficking. Predators average over 100 victims before they are caught. Of every three American women will ultimately be, one out of three American women will ultimately be abused during her lifetime. One out of four women and one out of six men will be intimately assaulted by the age of 18. That comes from the Philadelphia Women's Center Against Sexual Violence. One out of six, and one out of four before 18. Four out of five intimate assaults are committed by someone known to the victim. That comes from the private physical assault hotline. How does pornography factor in? Listen, this is an official from Detroit. Not everyone who reads pornography is a sexual deviant. But all those kind of deviants read it. A former Detroit police inspector said, there has not been a sex murder in the history of our department in which the killer was not an avid reader of lewd magazines. So they go together as night follows day. Oh, Pastor, it won't affect me. It will. Does pornography lead to degeneracy? I tell you, pornography is degeneracy. The degenerate who then consumes it. Now, it's such a powerful drug, so powerful in America even, or the world. A social sickness, it's a domestic disaster. One pastor said, anyone who has counseled much at all can tell that the heartbreak, the tragedy that has entered homes through husbands and wives, and sometimes children haven't been reading or watching pornography. 56% of the separations in America today significantly involve internet pornography. 56%. One of the two, at least, has been significantly involved in internet pornography. 47% of Christian homes in America indicate they have problems with porn. In the Christian home, 47%. The whole outlook of love and marriage and intimacy becomes completely skewed. Especially, gentlemen, but there's about a third or fourth now of ladies, or the watchers on the internet are women now, about a fourth, maybe even more percent than that. But you will ruin yourself. I gave you the illustration 2 weeks ago of the guy on the outer space, and this alien jumps up and covers his face and plants an embryo inside. Sometime later, he's there just innocently going along. All of a sudden, his stomach and bursts out. And all that's left of that human being that was a host for the embryo is the shell of the man. His guts are gone. I'm not trying to be graphic. Gross. But that's what happens to the person who gets involved in this. Stay away. Completely, completely away. Please. I'll just give you one quick example. It happened in our own country. It happened, remember, there was the Duggar situation when there was 19 kids and counting, the Duggars. Well, one, Josh Duggar, you know what, that was sad. He cannot even see his own children alone with them anymore unless his wife is there. He doesn't even live with his family anymore. I know you're innocent until proven guilty, but he's under arrest for child. It's child porn. He can't even be with his own children unless his wife is there. How did he get to that point? He looked at that first video, should never have looked at the first time. The sad thing is, your children, my grandchildren, it is so pervasive. Compared, when I was in 1970s, when I was going to high school, you had to really go out of your way to find what you can just, in a moment, I could do three clicks right here, four. Well, the thing I've got, the covenant eyes will keep it from going there. But a regular phone with without the covenant eyes on there would, wow, you can go that quick and see the most lewd, awful things. Be careful. Pray for we must set up these guards. The consequences are horrendous. And what happens to women? There was in 2009, Paul Coughlin, pornography communicates its own truths about women. Unfortunately, their lies. One of the truths that pornography says about ladies is this: women are less than human. It shows their body sometimes, and not even their face. And by the way, every time you're watching something, men's or ladies, you're watching someone's daughter. And how many of those have been trafficked? I looked for the statistic of how many of those who are involved in pornography have been trafficked. I'm not sure. I could not find the exact statistic. But many of those who are involved are not because they want to be there. My wife told me of a Romanian pianist who was a great pianist. And she was trafficked. And she was captured.
And she got involved. I said, why didn't they call the authorities? Because they would have her call her mother with a knife to her throat and tell her mother, oh, everything's going well. Everything. I can't talk long. And hang up. She was rescued. This is an adult lady who is very well known as a pianist, concert pianist, and was trafficked. Women are sometimes, the lies are that women are sport. I mean, there's the swimsuit issues of different sporting magazines. Sometimes also it says that women are property. You wonder why we have the young men in our culture who are going and taking a girl out on a date one time and expecting far more than they should. You know, a lot of it, I think, is because of our culture. We are a pornographic culture, and they've been involved in pornography. I tell you, it ruins, unless God gives you grace and mercy, and it will ruin your life with the opposite sex. And the lie that women are property. I mean, you're flipping through a catalog, and you see, well, that's just, and they have a right to own that person. I mean, they're not for sale. They're not. And a woman's value depends on the attractiveness of her body. That's so wrong. And finally, the women like abuse. I did not find a statistic, because I hate even looking through the statistic. It's so sad. But how many of the pornographic videos today are about abuse? This all comes from the Dare to Dig Deeper booklet, Toxic Porn, written in 1996 from Focus on the Family. So it is social sickness, it is domestic disaster, it's spiritual suicide. Why did Solomon say, son, do not lust after her? Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He wasn't saying that for to ruin your life. He's saying, help yourself to some happiness. That's what the commandments are. You want to be happy in the Lord? Obey what God has said. Help yourself to some happiness. Obey the Savior. The Bible says, lust, when it has conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can't you see the joy on the Satan and his minions? As a man ruins his entire life by doing that, getting involved in that. There's one more for us. Another one for us. The joy. It bringeth forth. The wages of sin is death. God wants you to have life, not death. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, Jesus said. So there's a will that is to be followed, a walk that is faithful, and finally, in verse 6, 7, and 8, a witness that is fruitful. In verse 6, we see, back over to our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6, we see character. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 4, 6, I'm getting back over to there. It says for us here, 4, 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Go beyond means to transgress, in this context, really a reference to physical intimacy, to that kind of conduct. Don't go beyond and defraud your brother or your sister. Defraud there means to take something for personal gain. Webster says to get something dishonestly. In the men and women relationship, he refers to here. And the brother refers to other human beings. A Lightfoot says, universal brotherhood of mankind, not the close as in a brother. When believers seek to satisfy their physical desires and obtain intimate pleasure at the expense of another person, they have violated this command. It not only hurts you, it severely hurts others. It dehumanizes real people. We think that these images, when we try to separate, and those who are so involved, they separate the reality of the images they're watching just to please themselves. You lose your ability, even if you get involved and you are a husband or wife, you're going to lose your ability to love your spouse. It could cause you even to leave your spouse. The one book I read, he lost his wife, and they've never, and he's gotten recovered from it, and even speaks on it, but he and his wife are still separated because she has so much distrust for him. The character involves. And think about that. The Lord is the avenger of all such. Think about this in regard to someone offending those who traffic children. It's like, I don't even want to tell you how awful it is how young children are that get sexually trafficked. Think about when the Bible says, better for him to have a millstone tied about his neck and to harm one of these little ones. I'm telling you, there's some people who are going to stand in judgment for eternity for this. the character. And how about the call in verse 7? For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, that is kaleo in the Greek. It means, this uncleanness means worthless, refuse, waste. In the medical terminology, it was oozing wound. He's not called us, which means to speak to another in order to bring them nearer, either physically or in a personal relationship. He's not called us to have an oozing wound or an unclean wound. He's not called us to that. He's called us to hagiazo, holiness, sanctification. We are to rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve this King of Kings. We are to rise up and to do what is right. Christ-likeness. Not only is there social sickness, domestic disaster, spiritual suicide, but Adrian Rogers closes with this part of his outline, seeking the cure. How are you just simply going to, I'm going to try to think right thoughts, try to, no. The power's here. The power to beat this specific topic, I tell you, in my personal opinion, if you're a child of God, is right here. This is the only thing. It's the only thing to keep your thoughts. Now, I'm not involved, but to keep my thoughts the right direction. Pastors also have to keep their thoughts in the right direction. You get any singular day, you might have, if you have a computer open, you're going to see things, if you're not careful, that you need to get. I mean, it's just advertisements, the magazines. I just subscribed to Forbes magazine, and thankfully there was nothing in there. It's all trying to sell his watches and expensive things that people who have a lot of money can buy. But you got to be careful. Even watching, reading through magazines, men, ladies. This is the one, only thing I have found that always, always works, the word power. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. We are to think God's thoughts after him. Whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just, pure, lovely, all those things. The question I remember, what would I want the Lord to return with me thinking these thoughts, watching this video, fantasizing about this image, reading this magazine, talking this way to the opposite sex? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I remember when my mom was sitting in our living room. I got home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd been to a UK basketball game, and they did not know where I was. The girl wanted to see the basketball players afterwards, etc. So 2 o'clock in the morning was extremely late for me. It was like the only time of my life. And she was sitting in the living room waiting for me to get home. There we go. And I was ashamed. And I won't say what else happened. But anyway, that never happened again without me calling her and giving a really, 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 really good excuse. I remember my wife and I were, I went the wrong way. I was up, I think it was the time I was going to ask my wife to marry me, Stephanie to marry me up in New Jersey. And I went the wrong way on the Garden State Parkway. And there's only so many exits. And by the time I found out I was going north instead of south, I was going to put us home like it. I called Papaw and I said, Mr. Wampler, this is Tim. Yes. We've gone the wrong way. And so we won't be home till like 1:30. But it was I went the wrong. Okay. He was so nice and easygoing. But that you may not have had that experience, but it was like, not ashamed. I'm ashamed. Don't be ashamed by how you're thinking and living. God's prescription, as we close up this three-message little series, we find his cure is to keep our thoughts right. In Proverbs 4:20, if you want to turn over there, Proverbs 4:20, we find a nice, important verse for us in this area. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Are we getting up in time to spend time in the Word of God? I trust that you are. Are we saturating ourselves with Scripture? And that is the key. We have to think God's thoughts after him. So we are to guard our sight. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Walking past the newsstand or on the internet or on your Kindle or on your phone or on your iPad, the magazines, the advertisements, the internet, the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, billboards, news, all these things, you have got to be always on alert. You are either actively fighting or passively losing this battle.
Why do some look at lewd magazines and others do not? Because your thought life will guard your sight life. How you think governs what you see. You're not a helpless victim. You can make up your mind with God's help and God's word. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Beforehand, make a covenant with your eyes. Do not wait until you're in the middle of the battle. Oh, I've got to do something now. No, you need to plan ahead of time. When you go, and I was listening to one message, and the pastor said, listen, if you get on the internet, have a purpose, and then get off. How many get on the internet to surf, and it's going to lead you to trouble. If you have a purpose, get on there, buy your thing, pay your bill, look at this, you know, look at somebody, who's going on, but I'll be careful. Just find a purpose and get off and go on with life. Get along with God, a quiet place. Read your Bible. Make a solemn decision before God that by God's grace, with His help, you will not look at this stuff. Decision will guard your heart and guard your sight. God wants you to have a fruitful life, a fruitful ministry. But you must do things God's way. So that is a witness that is fruitful. It's a character. It's call. And then finally, it's carelessness. He that despiseth not man but God. Despiseth means rejects or treads lightly. These commands for physical purity. Oh, it's not that big, Pastor Tim, for me. Yes, it is. I tell you, it's life and death for your spiritual life. There's so many people come to the marriage altar and they've got all this baggage because they have not, even Christians, they have not obeyed God's word. You need to take steps. I know of one missionary lady, girl, who I believe they had not even kissed, and in the wedding they did not even kiss. The first time they kissed was after the wedding was over. Oh, Pastor Tim, that's just kept them out of trouble, is what it did. That's maybe extreme for some of our thinking, but I tell you, I'd rather a little extremity like that and do what God has called us to do and do it the right way than to, it does matter. It does. It does. And from the battle, Men's Face, a book I've got listed back there, Strategies to Win the War Within. Gregory Lance says this, it is traumatic to work through a pornography addiction. It is traumatic because of the images viewed, the personal values torn to shreds, the relationships damaged, and the shocking realization that something you meant to control has actually taken control of you. It can be very traumatic to realize that you'll give up what you exchange and how far you're willing to go to continue in a physically intimate, self-gratifying activity. When men finally come to their senses, they are often shocked at how far down into the cyber cesspool they have gone. Men who have always had self-confidence and assurance in their abilities and decisions are decimated by the knowledge of their willingness to give up everything of value for something they've come to consider so vile. It can be excruciating to see themselves as someone who will go back time and time again, as the scriptures say, as a dog returns to its vomit. End of quote. Our responsibility. How can you help? I think, number one, you've got to get right with God. You've got to confess. Practical things, if you are married, your spouse has the right to ask anything of you. The spouse can look on your phone. Yes, they can look at what you're reading. They can listen to. And they can ask you, my wife asked me, how's your reading and watching? When I know she's going to ask me that, does that not little up your, well, ooh, you asked me that. Accountability. Perhaps you need, gentlemen, a singular person to be accountable to. You want to share your burden, and you know this, you trust this person, you have spiritual confidence in them, and say, listen, I want you to ask me every week, or call me every day. A woman with a woman, a man with a man. And that accountability, that can be very, very helpful. But to sit back and say, you know, oh, I can look at this on my own, and I can, no, you can't. You can't. And you must get help now, or you're going to be the picture of that man out in outer space who had the alien come out of his stomach, and all is left is empty chest cavity. So, a thought, reap a action. So an action, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. And so a character, and reap a destiny. You reap what you sow. In time, oh, I'm getting away with it, Pastor Tim. No, you're not. It will come home to roost in time. The good news is God will help you if you will seek help. You must do that. I have back in there on this piece of paper just like this, and it has the books I have read through, gone through, some of them.
I even have a couple up here if you want to look through them. One of them is by it's a good book, even though he now doesn't even profess to be saved. Not even a hint by Josh Harris. And I have Lest You Fall from Rand Hummel. Books I have in my library. These other books, you can get them online. Some of them I have on my phone. But what I would say to you then is you, if you are involved in this or it's a temptation to, by the way, all of us, I don't care who you are, all of us, we all have to fight it. All of us. And if you're involved in it, it's a stumbling block. If it's gotten a hold of you, you need to find someone, seek God, and then possibly find someone. If you're married, you've got to come clean and seek help. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we think about this very, very difficult topic, but a topic, Lord, that is like the elephant in the room in the church. So many are so involved. So many are so engrossed and so many are so addicted to this heinous sin. Lord, I pray if there be even under the sound of my voice later on who listen to the message that are involved in the sin of pornography, Lord, help them to seek you. If they're unsaved, to be saved and then seek help through godly counsel. Lord, please, you can break the bonds of any chains. And so, Lord, may we do that. May we guard ourselves. May we be actively fighting and not passively losing. May we actively fight. Every single one of us, male, female, young or old, may we actively fight against allowing any kind of even to slip in our lives and thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.